Thank you for that lovely singing. Thank you, Sister Patty and Brother Tony. And now I'm happy to call on a man that is no stranger to us all. We all know him well, Brother Freddie.
Thank you, Brother Gordon. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, could you turn to Joshua chapter 2? Joshua chapter 2. I'm going to read the entire chapter. We'll be looking at Rahab and her life. It's Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy out secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho's sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass, about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and the earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that I am, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, and that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. Afterward, ye may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon her head, and if any hand be upon him. If thou order this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came to the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. One more verse in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. It's far more than I could ever say. It's just the reading of the word. Tonight, I'd like to look at Rahab. I'd like to look at her position. Then we'd like to consider the time allotted us, her condition. Then we'd like to look at her privileges. And then her belief. And then her deliverance. And then her salvation. Here we see, as we read, a picture of God's salvation. First, her position. Her position, she lived in a condemned city under the judgment of God. And tonight, that's where you live tonight, if you're not saved, in a condemned world under the judgment of God. In John chapter 3, verse 18, listen at these words, words that you know well. It says, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not the Son is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, don't you see you're condemned just like Rahab? It says those who have not believed stand condemned already. My friend, you're already sentenced. You only await the execution of the judgment. You're just like someone who's committed murder. The sentence is passed, death. They might wait a year or 2 years before the execution. My friend, that's where you stand if you don't know the Lord. You're already condemned. You're just awaiting the execution. But you don't have to have that execution passed upon you. You can trust the Savior right where you're seated. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Listen at these words. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Friend, that word believeth not means he that disobeys, he that is disobedient, the wrath or the anger of God. That word abides means abiding continually. Could you afford to go out of this life in your sin, to have the wrath of God continually abiding upon you? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a angry God. In Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See there again, you're condemned. We're all sinners. In Genesis 3, it's quite clear that one man, Adam, brought sin into the human race. And by that one act of disobedience to God was sufficient to plunge the whole world into sin. My friend, tonight, be wise. If you don't know the Savior, why not trust Him tonight? Rahab, you ask her position. She lived in a condemned city under the judgment of God. Secondly, her position, she lived among unbelieving people. Canaanites, pagans, didn't believe in God. But that's the way we all are tonight. In Romans 11:32 says, God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy on all. We were all in unbelief, and we were never to be saved until we realized that we were undeserving sinners. And the love of God on our behalf and act shows us both mercy and grace. Galatians 3:22 says, but the scripture has concluded all under sin. There again, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ be given to them that believe. Here's the two words, faith, believe. That's the way. States clearly how God's gift of eternal life is bestowed. Faith always has an object. And the object in that verse I just read says that by faith of Jesus Christ, the object is Jesus Christ. As I spoke to Brother Marsh and Brother Allison this morning, we said, a promise cannot be received only by faith. So it's faith in Christ and believing. That's the way you're going to receive eternal life. Have you ever by faith received that promise? I trust you have. If not, you can before the service is over tonight. But we see her position. Also, she was a Gentile. Yes, she lived among, she was an harlot. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She perished not with them that believed not. Faith declared it. Faith delivered her. But James says, listen to what James says. It was her works that demonstrated her righteousness. It was only because her faith really saved her. Because yes, it is faith alone that saves. But a faith that saves is never alone. It was the works that follow. My friend tonight, if it hasn't been works, follow your faith. Check your life. Check to see whether you've really been saved. Works must follow. If you're truly saved, works must follow. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, all have sinned, both Jew, Gentile. We come short of God's glory. You might ask tonight, what is the glory of God? The Bible frequently speaks of the glory of God appearing in a pillar of cloud to the children of Israel. It speaks of the glory of God appearing in the temple of Solomon. It speaks of the glory of God on the Mount of Olives at Jerusalem. But when it comes to the New Testament, it says the glory of God rests in the person of Jesus Christ. Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, the knowledge of the glory of God is said to be in the face of Jesus Christ. When Paul says, we have come short of the glory of God, he means we do not measure up to God's standard. The standard of God's holiness today is not the Old Testament law, but the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, we see the Canaanites had as much evidence as Rahab, but did not act upon it. My friend, you got the same evidence that many here have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as. But have you ever received them? You have all the evidence you need tonight to be saved. Don't be like those foolish Canaanites. who did not act upon what they heard, but be like Rahab, and act upon what you have heard, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. You'll never regret it, my friend. If you do that tonight, I'll guarantee you, there's no regret. Yes, looking at her position, I jumped ahead of myself a minute ago. She was a Gentile. And that's what we all are tonight. We're Gentiles. And as such, outside of God's covenant with Israel, Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Yes, that at that time, before your salvation experience, that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about being Christless, we were without rest. And my friend, if you're without Christ, you got to be without rest, because the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you're without Christ tonight, you're without life. John 14:6, the Lord says, I am the way, the truth. And you're without Christ tonight, you're without light, because the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And if you're without Christ tonight, you're without salvation. For Paul, writing in Acts 4:12, says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And if you're without Christ tonight, you're without peace. Colossians 1:20 says, it's the blood, peace through the blood of his cross. Yes, strangers from the covenant of promise. We were homeless, not having any share in the messianic promises, because we were Gentiles. It was for the Jews. But God's word, tonight, my friend, has thousands of promises. They're for all of us tonight. But if you're not saved, not many for the lost. Not many, a few. God's promises are exceeding great and precious. But if you're without Christ tonight, they're no value to you. None whatsoever. Paul also says, we're without hope, being Christless. We had no faith, no hope, no love. That's where you find yourself tonight, but it could be different. It could be different. Right now, look at her condition. She was in heart. Verse 1 tells us, she was in heart. We see the corrupt nature manifested itself in open sin and harlot. But my friend, whatever your sin tonight might be, God can forgive you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There we'll see what sin can do. Paul gives 14 accounts of what kind of sinners that we really are. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, read through verse 19. It says, as it is written, listen at this. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, listen, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the whole world may become guilty before God. 14 accounts Paul lists here. He says, there's none righteous, no one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of their way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Your throat is an open top. Her air, he starts describing what we can really do with, how we could really come up with foul stuff with our throat, with our mouth, our lips, our tongue. Since their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That final charge that Paul gives is from which all these others spring up. Listen, how could we ever escape the judgment of God? Paul presents these 14 accounts, not only to the Jew, not only to the Gentile, but to the old world. That last verse we read in Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the old world may become guilty before God. Ordinarily, in a civil court, the time of defense is given to discredit the witnesses. But this will not be the case in the judgment bar of God. When the evidence is presented, the opportunity for defense comes, there will be no defense. None whatsoever. Listen at what the word says. That every mouth may be stopped. No defense. Yes, the mouth of the heathen will be stopped. Yes, the mouth of the moral and religious man will be stopped. Yes, the mouth of a cursing and bitter man will be stopped. A silent world will stand before the bar of God. Neither clever lawyers or bribing a judge or any kind of appeal will get you free. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to cleanse you. All that remains when you're there, my friend, if you never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, is the verdict. And when that verdict is read, it's just one word. I shudder for you. Guilty. Guilty. What else can it be but guilty? Oh, my friend, don't play with your soul. See, Rahab's condition and hall at a sinner, that is your condition tonight. I trust you'll do something about it. I trust you'll be wise. You see that she was helpless. She was not only a Gentile, she was helpless to change herself. She needed a new nature. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No. You're helpless to do anything, my friend. And Jeremiah 2:22 says, though you wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. My friend, your sins are so great, so many. There's nothing you can do but apply the blood of Christ. And it will make you whiter, yes, whiter than the snow. Why not come for that cleansing tonight? God has been gracious to you. He's given you another chance. Why not come for your cleansing? Yes, her condition. Thirdly, unable to remove the doom. She says in verse 11, the scripture we read, says, when we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What have you done to remove your doom? Sin brings death. The gift of God is eternal life. Have you received the gift? Why not? Ezekiel 18:4 says, behold, all the souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. And as the words, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin bringeth forth death. Rahab was unable to remove the doom, but she did something about it. She placed her faith in the God of Israel. That's what you need to do. Because my friend, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness. but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering, patient, patient, come to repentance, make room for Christ. And that verse 10 of that same chapter says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Are you ready? Will you be left behind to face God's judgment? I trust not. And we see Rahab's privileges. She heard of God's power and redemption. Verse 10 says she heard how God, she's talking to these spies, she says she heard how God had dried up the water of the Red Sea. Friend, she knew the story of how God brought the children of Israel out of bondage miraculously and brought them forth, and they were to the Red Sea, and they turned and looked, and Pharaoh's army was upon them. They started to complain to Moses. They said, why have you brought us out here? Because there's not enough graves in Egypt? Is that why you brought us up here? Moses says, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord said, Moses, stretch forth your hand. And those waters rolled up, you know the story, on either side, and the children of Israel went through miraculously. Pharaoh and his army tried to pursue. And those waters, Lord told Moses, stretch forth your hand again. Those waters came, and Pharaoh and his army was destroyed. She heard of God's redemption. You have heard how God has sent his son to Calvary to die for you. You've heard much more than Rahab has heard. Yes, you've heard of God's power, like Rahab did, in deliverance. She heard of his power and redemption. She heard of his power and deliverance. She says she heard how God, in verse 10 again, how God destroyed the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. Story is in Numbers chapter 21. And Moses asked the king of Sihon if he could go through his lands, and we won't touch your water, we won't touch your vineyards, but just let us pass. He says, I will not. And he goes to fight, and God destroys Sihon. Og goes out to battle as well. Two mighty kings, and God destroys them. Rahab heard this. Rahab did something about it. My friend, you have heard. Haven't you heard and seen God's power and deliverance? I don't know what to say. You know, but all I can tell you must come. You must believe. See, thirdly, her privileges, she heard of God's provision. She heard how God provided food and water for the children of Israel. How God told Moses, smite that rock, and water came out. How God provided food from heaven for them. She heard. Oftentimes, we do take God's provision for granted. God has blessed us abundantly, like no other people here. Scripture says the goodness of God. I think Brother Gordon mentioned that tonight. The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. If you're lost in your sin, why not come tonight? God's greatest provision for me and you was the gift of his only son. What a gift. His son, Jesus Christ. How can you turn him down? I don't know how you could turn him down. I just said those words I thought of Brother Neil. Made that expression so many times. How can you turn him down? Friend, God loved his son more than you and I could ever love our son and daughter. However much we might love them, God loved his son more. But yet he gave him for me and you, for his enemies. Then writer could say, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? I trust you'll be like Rahab tonight. Take advantage of God's provision. Trust the Savior right where you're seated. Have the peace tonight of sins forgiven. Fourthly, her privileges. She heard of God's protection. How God had taken his people those 40 years through the wilderness and kept them safe. She says, I've got enough. I'm going to trust him. We seek God's protection every day. just 3 months ago, you and I saw God's hand of protection. Our God brought our young man who was taken into Cuba back to us safe again. We have a great God that should lead you to repentance. It led Rahab. Why not you tonight? I must hurry. Time is fighting so swiftly by. So just look at Herbert Leaf. Herbert Leaf, she believed in the person, his person. She believed in his person. The Lord your God is in heaven, verse 11, and in earth beneath. She believed in his person. Confession of her faith that pleased God. And tonight, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Rahab turned from her idolatrous worship and believed the true God. Have you believed like Rahab? Have you believed in his person? Have you in simple childlike faith trusted him as your personal Savior? Yes, childlike faith, simply taking God at his word, not just believing about him, but on him. Placing your eternal destiny in what Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross, she believed also in his word. She says in verse 11, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. In verse 21, according unto your word, so be it. In Romans 3:3-4 says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No. Says God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. We see that Rahab believed and was saved, and the walls of Jericho fell down. But Romans 3:3 says also, what if some did not believe? It would not make the faith of God without effect. Most of the Canaanites, they didn't believe. But Jericho was still destroyed. My friend, most of the world doesn't believe tonight. It doesn't make any difference. If your soul's not right, you're going to come into judgment. And she not only believed in his person, not only believed in his word, she believed in his work. It says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It is not your works, but Christ's work that saves you. It says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You might ask, how can God justify the ungodly? Only on one ground. That is the work of the cross. What a price the Savior paid for you and me. Are you going to turn it down tonight? My friend, I trust not. We see our deliverance, we'll just skip it. And we see our salvation. Salvation. It says Joshua says she was saved in her house. In the verse I read in Joshua 6:25, she was saved in her house. Rahab's house is a symbol of the heart, and that safety and shelter are found only in God's place of salvation. And that's the only place that safety was found when the walls of Jericho fell down, was in Rahab's house. What a picture of the ark of safety. Every Christian has found that safety at the foot of the cross. We see that Joshua saved Rahab in her house. Have you found safety in the heavenly Joshua, Jesus Christ? I trust you have. Remember, Rahab told those two spies to flee to the mountain for safety. My friend, I know one who went to another mountain, not for safety, not for shelter. That mountain was Calvary. And that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of safety, like I just said, and shelter, there was a storm of God's wrath upon him. Friend, I don't know how you could turn him down tonight. That storm passed over him alone in that darkness. God poured his wrath out upon him that should have been upon you and me throughout an endless eternity. that you and I might find shelter and safety. He bore it for me and you. Have you been to that mountain? Have you applied that precious blood that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, his side? If not, why not? Hell, my friend, tonight is a place of no escape. No second chance. No help. No hope. No hand. Friend, you have a choice tonight to make. It's heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Let us pray. Father, tonight, we are deeply thankful that you made provision for salvation in giving your only Son. But it does sit in our hearts tonight. We realize it could be someone or more near tonight who have never yet put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Father, we trust tonight that they will not leave this building until they know for sure that their sins have been forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. Part us now with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, for we prayed in Jesus' name. Could be closed in singing a hymn. Good evening, and thank you, Brother Rupert. Apparently, you did a very good job in that quiz tonight. Man, I thought you was excellent. Tonight, we could be looking at the word grace. Grace, and 15 minutes of, well, I got 20 minutes. But I prepared for 15 minutes. So we're looking at the word grace. It's mentioned at least 165 times in the Word of God. And we're going to read one well-known scripture, two verses. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we're going to do an acrostic on the word grace to try to make it as simple as we can. That's Ephesians 2. We'll read verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We might ask, what is grace? There's a few definitions of grace. Unmerited favor or goodwill. Another definition is any service freely rendered. Another one is a state of reconciliation to God through Christ. Another one is grace's favor, kindness, or blessing shown to the undeserving. Not one of us in here tonight deserves grace. We deserve judgment. But grace is also the unmerited love and favor of God in Christ. Hence, a free gift. In Romans 6:14, the believer is under grace, not under law. We're all under grace. John 1:16, we have received grace in its fullness. In Romans 5:2, we stand in grace and rejoice in the hope of our salvation. 2 Timothy 2:1 says to be strong in grace. Don't waver. Be strong in that grace which is in Christ Jesus. And 1 Peter 3:18 says to grow in grace. Continue in grace. Now let's look at the word grace and the acrostic. Grace, we have G, it was originated by God. R, grace is rich. A, grace is abundant. C, grace is manifested in Christ. And E, one day, grace will end. Let's look at that for the time that is allotted to us. First, grace was originated by God. In 1 Peter 5 and 10, it says, but the God of all grace, here we see it's originated by God, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, and as three S's, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Peter is saying here, after you have suffered for a while, may the God of all grace, the Christians were suffering at that time, says the God of all grace will strengthen you, it means, will confirm you, will settle you, establish, strengthen, settle. You know, when I was a boy coming up, we had what we called a 3S tonic. I don't know if it's still on the market today. My mom used to say, boy, take that 3S tonic. He'll strengthen you. He'll build you up. Here's a 3S tonic. Says, promise, Peter promised him that God will establish them, confirm them. He'll strengthen them, and he'll settle you. What more you need than that? These suffering believers, what encouragement it was to them, and what encouragement it is to us even today. Grace originated by God. But grace is rich. Oh, we can never know how rich grace is. In Ephesians 2:7, says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, boy, we can't take that in, of his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Here's what it's saying. In the ages to come, that means that throughout eternity, God will continue to show us the exceeding riches of his grace through Christ Jesus. We shall never, even through eternity, God won't be able to get it on to us how much it costs to redeem us. Through the ages to come, he will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Why is grace so rich, you might ask? Because we are saved by grace. Back to our text in Ephesians 2 and 8. We are justified freely by grace. No cost. In Romans 3:24. We are forgiven by grace. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, what a price the Savior paid. So rich, but so free. It's available if you just come and accept. And we who have accepted it, we shall never cease to marvel at the grace of God. Grace is abundant. And we have the A. In Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Have you received that gift? The gift of righteousness? By one man, death reigned. By one man, much more by one man, it says, that we shall reign in life. And by that one is Jesus Christ. It's for all who will receive it. Grace in its abundance will prove to be all sufficient. Remember, Paul had that thorn in the flesh 3 times he besought the Lord to remove that thorn. The Lord came back and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. We'll find that grace in its abundance will prove to be all sufficient. Grace in its abundance is for those, as I said just now, who don't deserve it. You remember Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:13. He says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was a violent man, an injurious man. I was violent. But, oh, in verse 14 it says, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant to me. And my friend, whatever you might be, whatever you might have done, the grace of God is exceeding abundant. That same gospel that transformed Paul can transform you. Grace was abundant to Paul. It's abundant to you. Whatever sin you might have committed, that grace is sufficient. Because the scripture says, where sin abounded, listen at that, grace did much more abound. Oh, that is something to think about. My friend, have you accepted that grace? If you're in, don't know the Savior, I trust you have. Don't play with your soul. Grace was manifested in Christ. Here we have the sea.